Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Good morning, it's John Williams. What a beautiful day. Happy Casimir Pulaski Day. Do you realize that starting this Sunday, we will not see the sunset until after 6 o'clock for the next 8 months? So longer days, brighter days are coming.
I like that.
On the bright side. Yeah, It'll be darker earlier, Mary's quick to point out, because we'll spring forward. But still, the days are getting longer, and we set the clocks forward, so we'll have more daylight on that other side. And that should make you feel good. I just have a, you know, listen, I'm very concerned about the markets. I'm following the coronavirus thing like you are. The red line stop is the one elephant I use where that shooting took place on Friday. We'll talk more about that. But that was so discouraging because I've been championing, Andy, that we ought to get more security on the L.
Mm-hmm.
I want them on the platform. I want them on the trains. And lately, we have been seeing more security on the L. And then the video makes it look like these cops had a guy that they were containing relatively, but then shot him twice. And it's listen, I want the police there, but I don't want them doing that, for crying out loud. We'll follow that story and talk more about it a little later on. By the way, Andy is also going to continue to search for the duration of his hour in the studio with us.
I'm all searched.
I think there's something to it, Andy.
Yeah.
Put it this way. Would you rather have your team in spring training win a lot of games or lose a lot of games?
Doesn't matter.
You'd rather have them win a lot of games,
doesn't
wouldn't you,
matter.
Andy? And if they win a lot of games, maybe that does say something.
When's the last time you looked at a baseball card and saw spring training stats on the back of it?
I'm just saying if you had your druthers, you'd say that. And all the teams are playing the same way, feeling guys out.
The answer is none, by the way.
We'll pick this conversation up in a minute. Steve, I'm kind of obnoxious today about this, but I thought I was onto something. Andy's shutting me down now.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a hard shutdown, too.
Okay. It's all right. Yeah.
Oh, no, don't think it's hard. Oh, I'm not done.
Oh, he's definitely not
done. I'm not done making this point. Dow's up 107 points. Mayor Pete bowed out of the presidential race. He's no longer a Democratic contender, meaning now Donald Trump is the youngest man running for president of the United States. Donald Trump is the youngest man running for president of the United States. Mayor Pete could run in the 2060 presidential campaign and still be younger than Biden, Bernie, or Bloomberg are today. So he was very young. Everybody else is really old, except the two ladies, and one of them isn't a spring chicken. By the way, Producer Elif, what is the White Sox spring training record, please?
5 wins, 3 losses, 1 tie.
5-3-1.
5-3-1.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
If you do that for the regular season, you'll win. Andy, I know that all the teams are trying out pitchers and hitters, and you're just figuring it out. But all the other teams are doing the same. So there is a certain parity that way. And I want to believe that what we're seeing already from this team is indicative of what we're going to see this season, which so far is a lot of offense.
Yeah, well, look at it this way. I mean, it's right now about once a week, two times a week, maybe three times if you're lucky, you see the regular lineup out there in a spring training game. Especially if you're playing teams within your own division in spring training.
Who won the World Series last year?
That would be the Washington Nationals.
Has that been published? Is that in all the papers?
That is a well-known
fact.
What was
their spring training record?
Okay, hang on 1 second.
I'll look it up for you, Andy.
I've got it here.
It was the third best in their league and the best overall in the other league. No, it was the best in their league and the third best overall. Cactus and Grapefruit
league.
Leagues.
And Grapefruit, right.
So they had the best in the one. In other words, they had the third best record in the majors during spring training.
During spring training.
Yeah, how about that? And then they went on to win the World Series. 17-12-2.
Yeah.
So I think there you go.
Conversely, the Detroit Tigers last year, who won 47 regular season games, won 15 and lost 15 in spring training. Okay. They didn't sniff 500 all year. No. I'm going to give you another one.
Okay.
I got to get over to
running short of time here, Andy.
Yeah, I know. You know that team that plays on the north side, right?
Chicago Cubs.
That the team called the Chicago Cubs that won a World Series
2016.
When was that, 2016? Yeah, let's see what their record was in 2016
spring training.
In spring training.
Yeah.
I can tell you that in 10 seconds. Here we go.
Well, I guess I know what you're going to say, Andy.
Here we go.
I still think there's put it this way. If you're playing spring training baseball, do you want to win games or lose games? Do you want your up-and-comers to do well? Do you want your veterans to do well? Yeah, it's a mixed bag, but by and large, our mixed bag's better than their mixed bag.
2016, the Chicago National League Ball Club was 11-19 in spring training. Case closed.
I don't know that it is.
No, yeah, you want to win. I get that. But at the same time, it's hard to allot for the conditions in Arizona. You've got a lot of crazy things that happen in Arizona. The regulars will leave a game, and it's 3-2, and then a guy from single A that's a non-roster invitee will come in and give up 12 runs.
What's the most promising or fun or most interesting thing you saw in your spring training trip?
Boy, if I had to limit it to one,
yeah.
Luis Robert.
Yeah.
Watching that kid. Holy mackerel, can he fly.
Fly.
Oh, my God, is he fast.
Is he the one that ran in for the triple?
Yeah.
Dove into
third, head first, which was a no-no, but he did it anyway. But it would have been a double for most normal human beings.
He's a big dude, too, isn't he?
He's big. He's like 6'4", in that area. He is cut and always smiling. Now, again, I said this earlier. He's not played a big league game yet.
Oh.
So there's a lot of expectations, obviously, on this kid. But from what I've seen early, you can tell if a guy knows how to play the game. And if a guy doesn't know how to play the game, he knows how to play the game.
923 on WGN. Andy Mazur in for Dave Ennett doing sports today. The markets are up. The markets are down. We continue to watch them. You know, I was watching the news and half watching it and half trying to not watch it over the weekend. It was lovely, and I wanted to enjoy myself. But the coronavirus news keeps coming out. And the thing that I have been telling our listeners, I've been telling you, and I've been telling myself is that however frightening this is, perspective is so imperative here. And even with today's news of another case in more states with the virus popping up, it is still nothing compared to the regular flu or nothing compared to what we have seen in other circumstances. People point to the mortality rate and they say, well, with the flu, you're not very likely to die. But the mortality rate's about 3% with coronavirus. But the experts told us last week that it's 3% of the known cases. And we don't know really how many people have coronavirus. So if instead of, X number of deaths versus 10,000 people, what if it's X number of deaths and 100,000 people have the illness? We just don't know that yet. Well, then suddenly it's not so deadly. So should you cancel your travel plans? The question remains this week. And I don't know that it's a slam dunk, even though you've heard worse news. You know, we do the Monday mega quiz. And I made a full Mega Monday quiz. It's sponsored by our friends at Mega Pros. We'll do it at 11:40 at the end of the show, and it's something topical. And I started to do it about pandemics, and then it got so morbid. I thought, well, that's not fun. I'm not going to make a pandemic quiz. So our quiz will be about Chicago comics. John Mulaney was on Saturday Night Live Saturday night and was terrific. You'll hear some of that here. But I will share with you some of the things that I discovered as I was clicking around. About 1.1 million people in the United States right now are HIV positive. One in seven people who are HIV positive do not realize that. There are 38,000 new cases of HIV every year in the United States. 16,000 to 17,000 people die from AIDS every year, still in the United States. Nothing good about that. I'm offering a little perspective here. Tuberculosis, last year, 1.5 million people died from tuberculosis. That's in the world, but there are over 500 deaths in the United States from tuberculosis. I didn't think people got tuberculosis anymore. There are 9,000 new cases of TB, and 13 million people in the United States have it currently. 13 million people in the United States have tuberculosis. Oh, good, John. Tell me more.
Well, and let me just add that you know, you've mentioned some valid points, but all of those other things, flu, HIV, tuberculosis, we know about. We have all the information we think we know about those diseases, and there are treatments that have been developed and therapies for those diseases.
Absolutely.
We don't have that for coronavirus.
We do not. We do not. 41 people were attacked by sharks last year. We're still below shark attacks. Ebola, currently the death rate for the disease in the Democratic Republic of Congo. You want mortality rates? If you get Ebola, and you're in Africa, 61%. Worldwide, it's a 50-50 chance. I'll just mention one more here. The world's worst pandemic of all started in 1346, the Black Plague, bubonic plague. For 7 years, starting in 1346, between 75 and 200 million people died. That's in 1346 when the Earth's population was about 370 million. So 1 in 5 to 1 in 2 people on Earth died from the Black Death in the 14th century. I don't know that that helps. I don't know if you're saying, okay, good, John, thanks, it's not so bad. But here's the thing, I don't think you and I know how bad it is, and I don't think it is as bad as it feels. I'll put it that way. Actually, today, I was listening to the news reports, and I'm watching it in the newspaper, and I'm watching it on TV, and I'm watching it online. Another state has a case pop up, another state has a case pop up, and it's starting to feel to me the way sometimes mass shootings do, or school shootings, where you say, oh my God, that's terrible. Now, which one was that? And you almost have trouble keeping up with it, and then it sort of fades into the background, and perspective becomes hard to sort of maintain on that. That analogy isn't perfect, but I'm in some ways more alarmed and in other ways less alarmed with each new report, in part because I think my world is going to continue to go on the way it's been going on. Would you travel to Italy? It might be more difficult to now. Would you travel to Asia? It might be more difficult to now. Chicago Public Schools, this was our news click over the weekend, are replacing Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. We gave you two options. They should do that or they should not do that. 64% of you said they should not do that. It should continue to be Columbus Day. 36% of you said, yeah, we should call it Indigenous Peoples Day now, which is what they will in the Chicago Public Schools. How good are the Cubs going to be this year, by the way?
They are going to probably surprise those that are doomsdayers about them. I don't know if they're going to be a playoff team this year just because their division got a little bit better. But I think
that'll
be, okay.
Be disappointing.
It'll be okay.
If you had to bet Cubs in the playoffs, not in the playoffs, you'd say maybe not in the playoffs.
Right now I would say maybe not just because the National League, it's a strong league right now.
Yeah. Is the White Sox division tough this year?
It's a little bit. I mean, the Twins are probably still the best in the division. I think that the Indians lost a lot. They've got one of their starting pitchers is hurt as well. So, you know, second place, first place. I mean, you never know, obviously, because you never know who's going to stay healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the biggest key.
You know what you should do is look up the spring training records of all of those teams, Andy. It's 9:39. This is WGN Radio. By the way, because it was such a nice weekend, I think a lot of people were out doing things. Were you working on your yard, even though it doesn't need it? We were in Lincoln Square in Chicago and other places, shopping and eating out and just kind of relaxing, enjoying a nice Sunday. Maybe you did a little of that on Saturday as well. Saw a lot of dogs in restaurants and bars again. So here we go with that conversation. But a lot of you took your dog out, and then you went in for a drink or a sandwich, and you just brought your dog in with you. The problem is we just don't know how to behave in public anymore. And John Cass, the Chicago Tribune columnist on Twitter, posted a video that's good evidence of that. It's a different scene, though. It's at what looks like Whole Foods, where they have the hot bar where you can go ahead and get food and put it in your dish and take it home. And they have the soup ladle into the big soup kettle. And a guy's just walking along, and he's looking at the broccoli and the chicken and the soup. And he's thinking, I wonder how good that soup is. So he picks up the ladle and just takes a sip from the ladle and then puts it back in the thing. No, 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 you do not get to do that.
Right, and you don't get to videotape something like that. Go and tackle the guy. Right? I mean, that's the only I saw that, and I was just thinking, why are you video? Go and stop him.
I don't know about that there, Steve. I'm not exactly sure what the appropriate response is in that scene. The appropriate response is not have some soup.
No.
But I'm not sure it's resort to violence, sir. That's what you're suggesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe not necessarily violence, but perhaps going up and just confronting him,
dude.
Or getting somebody to get him and stop him. I mean, test him for TB or I don't know.
It is pretty amazing sometimes the things people will see and videotape and post rather than intervene. You know, like when the deer is attacking the hunter and his buddies are all standing around there videotaping it. Or when a tornado is coming. That's the classic one. And the wife's like, Clark, get in here. Clark, hold on, honey. Hold on, honey. And they videotape the tornado as it's mowing down their lawn. Never understood that either. Barbara had something to say about one of the holidays. I don't think it's Casimir Pulaski Day she's calling in about, although this is that. Hey, Barbara, it's John. You're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Good morning. I would like to make a comment about the decision of the Chicago School Board about the Columbus Day, making an Indigenous Day. I think it's very disrespectful to all the explorers who came across the New World to the unknown and didn't know what they were going to find. And they came across on two, three small boats, the Nina, the Pinta, the
Santa Maria.
Yeah. And they came across with limited skills that we can't even fathom today.
Yeah.
And yet they were ready to do this, and they didn't know what they were going to find. And it was just one of those things that happen, and they happen today, too. We don't understand everybody that we meet.
Wait, so your point is, though, that if they were that valiant and brave and clever, we should honor them with Columbus Day?
Yes, just as it's a day. It's not, you're not being disrespectful to anyone else. You're just honoring the fact that they made that voyage, and they were willing to try.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's not something that to be taken lightly.
No. I don't think anybody's taking it lightly. I think the mistake we make, and I think you make a good point here, Barbara, is that we compare that to the crimes suffered by the indigenous people, or how clever and brave and remarkable they were as well. So, is one better than the other? Is one more deserving than the other? That's the wrong conversation to have, right? There ought to be a way to accommodate them both. If you had to pick one, I'm not going to answer that question because I don't care. I don't know who's more deserving. It's impossible to answer. But I appreciate your call, and I do see your point. It's 9:43 now, enjoying some soup just down the hall here at WGN Radio. Look at
I watched that again, John. I think he takes two drinks of the soup, by the way.
And I agree with you, Steve, that something needs to be done. Like, I would definitely tell the manager to throw away that soup.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind it if they called the police. I'm not sure if it's against the law, but something needs to happen there. In his piece, Cass said that the guillotine is appropriate. Andy and I were just talking a little bit more about what we were talking about on the air, off the air. We'll talk about it on the air. Hey, Jerry in Kansas, listening in Kansas, thank you, Jerry, says, Andy Mazur is right. Spring training statistics do not mean anything when the regular season starts.
Smart guy.
But I understand that, but I don't think that they don't mean anything. I think they don't mean a lot, but I think they mean something. And what they mean is more what you'd want than what you'd not want. I don't know what I just said. John, the 1985 Bears had a horrible preseason record. How did that work out?
Mm-hmm.
They won the World
Super
Series
Bowl
that year. John, when it comes to traveling on cruises, etc., it's not the mortality rate that we fear. It's being quarantined. Yeah, I get that. It's not that, I mean, you might get it being quarantined, but what people don't want to suffer is a two-week or four-week inconvenience of being quarantined here and there, even if they don't get it. That's what kept one of my friends from going to Hawaii. She called in last week. In fact, this texter is about that. John, last week you had that Kathy on, who you traveled with before on Kelly Cruises. Do you remember what insurance company she was talking about that gave her a full refund of her trip to Hawaii? I would appreciate the answer. And I don't have an answer for you, except that she got the vacation waiver from Expedia, and I think there's more than one insurance company that offers that. But when you get travel insurance, you want to ask if you can get the most comprehensive insurance, that is the kind that would enable you to cancel your trip, not because you broke your leg or there was an emergency in the family, but because you just changed your mind. And you can get that kind of insurance. I had no idea it existed. I don't know if they're going to continue to answer that, because my guess is so many people are now exercising those policies. They're probably getting expensive for some of these companies that previously offered them, knowing that not that often would anybody actually cash them in. John, I was able to get a flu shot, so I feel somewhat protected from the flu. I feel defenseless against the new virus. Love the show. Well, I understand that. What's the matter, Elif? Oh, yeah, I got to read this, don't I? It's time for you to live your best life. It's time for you to conquer your depression. Feelings of despair and hopelessness. A fresh start awaits you. An anesthesiologist, Dr. Balnander, can help. He uses ketamine to treat major depression. Ketamine is safe, and in lower doses, it quickly relieves depression and chronic pain. It can also provide relief from anxiety and PTSD. Ketamine's been called one of the greatest advancements in mental health. In fact, the Cleveland Clinic ranked it in its top 10 medical innovations list. Many antidepressants aren't effective or have bad side effects. Ketamine treatments from Dr. Nandra could reduce or eliminate your need for those other drugs. Most people find relief in just a few hours or days. Treatment involves 6 IV infusions over 2 weeks in a private monitored setting. Schedule your free no-obligation consultation. Call 844-9-IV-MEDS, 844-9-IV-MEDS, or visit KetamineChicago.com, KetamineChicago.com. Did I say that right? Yeah, KetamineChicago.com. By the way, Producer Elif, I want to play the John Mulaney piece. There are two of them. Let's play the first one first. Our mega Monday morning quiz is not going to be about pandemics, although that would have been a lot of fun. Instead, it's going to be about Chicago-based comics. And John Mulaney, of course, is a Chicago guy, went to St. Ignatius. As sweet and funny as he is, he really had a troubled youth. He started drinking at the age of 13, finally quit drugs and alcohol at the age of 23 after 10 years of abuse. Can you imagine that? His mom was a law professor at Northwestern, may still be. Dad's an attorney. Just a very interesting sort of backstory. His wife is a makeup artist and lampshade designer. He talks about her sometimes. So he'll be the answer to one of the quiz questions, Chicago Comics, when we do the mega quiz at 11:40. Well, he was on Saturday Night Live Saturday night. I guess that's why I started to think Chicago Comics. And I have a dad who is a very senior citizen, and I sometimes talk about my dad the way John Mulaney talked about his on Saturday night.
Clap if your father is between the ages of 60 and 75. Yeah. What's going on with them? What's wrong with them? They're so emotional. My dad hugs me so tightly sometimes, I'm like, is one of us about to die? And my dad has no friends. And your dad has no friends. If you think your dad has friends, you're wrong. Your mom has friends, and they have husbands. Those are not your dad's friends. Why do none of our baby boomer dads have friends? I have a few theories. One, they forgot. Two, they want to be alone. Dads want to be alone. I'm not a dad, but I observed one. And he would go into a room and he'd read about World War II. All of our dads are cramming for some World War II quiz show. And I can't wait to watch it. We're just going to change channels and see our dads win a $900,000 on Normandy trivia. It's hard to make friends when you're an adult male. I think that's the greatest miracle of Jesus, truly, is that he was a 33-year-old man and he had 12 best friends. And they were not his wife's friends' husbands. And he didn't meet them a long time ago in school. He met them in his 30s. 12 best friends. Remember when your dad went fishing once? These guys went fishing every day. And they were all best friends. And he'd do magic tricks for them and they loved it. He did magic tricks to the one time that he should have done magic and then he forgot to. And they would take it. That must have been disappointing for his 12 best friends. They're taking him away in chains and they're like, do the chain trick. He's like, I don't know how to break chains.
John Mulaney on Saturday Night Live. You know, one of the things I really like about the monologue, the opening monologue on Saturday Night Live, when it's really funny, is the guy that plays the saxophone sitting to the comic's left, off his left shoulder, and the whole band, but that guy I've just watched over the years, and when sometimes he's really laughing hard. You know, and these guys have seen it all, so when you get those guys going, you know you're really on a roll, and John Mulaney was. Pretty funny. In fact, I got time for one more bite from him the other day. So, and this is just near and dear to my heart because, you know, I interview Thomas Jefferson on stage about once a year, sometimes twice a year. Teddy Roosevelt comes to Chicago a lot, and he and I go on stage and do a two-man show, if you will. In each case, I interview the president a little bit and then take questions from the crowd. These are really amazing performances, these unscripted conversations we have. And the guy that does those two presidents for us is the best scholar in the country for those two. When Ken Burns does a Roosevelt, or when he did his Jefferson documentaries, the lead interview is the man that portrays these two presidents for us on stage. So he started talking about our founding fathers. And I thought, now, wait a minute. Be careful here, because one of them is a friend of mine. By the way, the next stage show that we're going to do with Thomas Jefferson is going to be September 26th. Is that right, Elif? Thumbs up if it's September 26th? I'm getting a thumbs up. September 26th. It'll be at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove. Thomas Jefferson and I will be on stage just a little bit before the next election. So that should be fun and interesting. And John Mulaney was talking about our founding fathers Saturday night.
I don't want to dwell on politics, but I dislike the founding fathers immensely. I hate when people are like, God has never created such a great group of men as the founding fathers. Yeah, the 92 bulls. The 92 bulls were better than the founding fathers. The 96 bulls, maybe. That's actually a perfect metaphor for the United States. When I was a boy, the United States was like Michael Jordan in 1992. And now the United States is like Michael Jordan now. The founding fathers were dumb because they made the Constitution and they numbered it, and the order is weird. They went, Amendment number one, freedom of speech and freedom of assembly and freedom of religion. Okay, that's one. How about two? You can have all the guns you want. For two? How about like 17, 19? No, two. Guns. All right, let's just put guns. He seems upset, all right? Amendment number three. The army can't live in your house. Okay, buddy, I think you're going through your own thing in life right now, and I feel for you. I think a soldier might be sleeping with your wife, and you want to grab a gun and kill him, and I feel for you, but that cannot affect the list. This is like a forever list, and we haven't even gotten to basics, like morning time is when you eat breakfast, so put it down in writing. The army can't live in your house. And don't you thank God every day for that Third Amendment? The other afternoon, this was Tuesday, I was in my apartment and the buzzer rang, and it was 101st Airborne. And they said, permission to live in your house? And I went, Third Amendment. And he said, gentlemen, he's invoked the third. Let's fall out and find another house to live in. A thing that we do.
Not bad. John Mulaney from Saturday night. Then they did a song and dance number that was high production values. I didn't watch all of SNL Saturday night, but his monologue and that piece were pretty dang good. Here, I'll preview the Mega Monday quiz. We'll do this at 11:40. Here's another Chicago comedian. Another Evanston-born comic. Grew up in Wilmette. Tell me when you think you know. Attended St. Joseph's Grade School and Loyola Academy. Has 8 siblings. One is a nun who has traveled the country in a one-woman show portraying St. Catherine of Siena. Who is this famous Chicago comic? Bertrand Go.
Bill Murray.
Yeah. I didn't know that. He's got a sister who's a nun who travels the country performing as a nun.
Well, what kind of an actor is she if she's playing herself?
Yes, that's true. So we'll give you some that are more difficult and some that are just that easy and fun. We'll do that a little later on in the 11 o'clock hour. I just can't stop commenting on what a lovely day it is downtown Chicago. I hope it's as nice where you are as it is here along the Chicago River, looking out onto the lake and then downtown. I can see the buildings along Michigan Avenue, Columbus Avenue, and the blue skies over all of us. Yesterday, it got up to 84 degrees. Today's high, 92. It'll be cooler later this week.
The humidity is terrible.
And the mosquitoes. I don't even want to talk about it. We were out just enjoying the day yesterday. I mean, it was just really nice. I hope you had a chance to. I don't have a lawn anymore, but I know if I did, I would have had my rake out there, and I would have been pulling the leaves. I'll bet Pete McMurray mowed his lawn yesterday.
I was out picking up sticks.
Yes.
Doing things like that.
Yes. I want to pick up some sticks.
Come on over.
There's great advantages to being a condo owner, but you don't get to pick up sticks unless you go pick up somebody else's sticks. Just knock on people's door. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, do you mind if I rake your lawn? No, seriously, I want to rake your lawn. I just want to rake your lawn. Do you mind if I pull some leaves out from your bushes? Oh, I'd love to do that. I would love to do that. Maybe trim them back a little bit just because it would be fun to do. They don't really need it. There are, what is it, four times that you should, if you're part of the lawn treatment cycle, right? What's that company that sells all the fertilizers?
Scotts.
Scotts. And so they say you should do it aligned with the holidays, I believe. So if you work, so it's Labor Day. No, it's Memorial Day, the 4th of July, and then Labor Day. Those three places of the summer are the three points at which you need to put down various treatments. And then the other one, the fourth one, I think is Easter.
Right, I think so too.
So that's when you put down your pre-treatment and then all the other things.
Of course, that's the company selling you the fertilizer.
Yes, I know. I know. I don't know how true that is. Or if I, what if I just went with one of them? What if I didn't use your stuff? But it was a nice day to be able to do that. A lot of times we put on a spokesperson from the Secretary of State's office to answer your questions about Real ID. Most of you are doing it. Most of you are got your documents, and it's not that complicated. But there's so many variables, and there is a lot of confusion about it. And so once in a while, we put Dave Drucker on to answer some questions. He's not joining us today, but I will remind you this. If you've ever got an issue or a question specifically, just email John Williams at WGNradio.com. That's me. And we'll grab him, and every now and then we put him on when we get a few questions that we think would, you know, be helpful to a large enough group of people. So you can always email John Williams at WGNradio.com. This person said, hey, John, I applied for my Real ID. The service was awesome. We were given fast and friendly service. The employees are really working hard, and I suspect they are stressed, but all seem to handle it. We too often hear the opposite. Just people complain more than they praise. So I'm happy to pass that little bit of information along. Mayor Pete is out. Donald Trump is now the youngest man running for president. Mayor Pete could run in the 2060 presidential campaign and still be younger than Biden, Bernie, or Bloomberg are now. That's just how young he was. And the field is thinned, isn't it? And we didn't even get a chance to express our views. I don't know if Illinois should move its voting day up, but it's sort of like being a Republican in Chicago. You'd like your vote to count, but it never does. And I'd like to think that we would have gotten a chance to tell Bernie, yes, or Mayor Pete, we're going to vote for you or not. But he's, I don't know if his name
actually... Well, do you want to have a national primary? That would be the alternative.
I guess on one day, in other words.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if that's best serving all of the states, because then maybe they won't visit all of the states along the way. You know, they'll just kind of do it like a general election. I don't know how they would do that. But I'm going to miss his candidacy this way. I do think he was the most unflappable, articulate, level-headed, even-keeled of the Democrats running. And I would put Amy Klobuchar, the Minnesota senator, in that field as well. But in that group, she's probably not going to win it either. In the meantime, you've got Bernie and Joe and Elizabeth Warren and maybe Bloomberg, and all of them are just talking as loud and as fast and as spending as much money as they can. Never once when Mayor Pete spoke, and listen, if you're a Republican, maybe this doesn't resonate with you, but even if you are, I would hope you would agree that never once when Mayor Pete spoke did you get the feeling this guy is just looking for a soundbite. I don't remember him using nicknames. I don't remember him cutting people off or just saying stupid or ugly stuff. And I liked that about him. The rest of his resume seemed to be fine to me, too. I'm a little disappointed that he's out. My number is 312-981-7200, but I want to take your call or text right now and tell me what you make of Mayor Pete and his exit from the campaign.
All the glory when you ran outside with your shirt tucked in and your shoes untied, and you told me not to follow you.
This gives me a chance to play the only song I know about Kazimierz Pulaski. From Sufjan Stevens' album, Come On Hear the Illinois. This is the song called Kazimierz Pulaski Day. It's not a lot about Kazimierz Pulaski Day, but that is the title of the song. Lots of vocals and then some instrumentals like that. I'm a big Sufjan Stevens fan, and I think you will be too if you can learn to spell his name and look him up. Sufjan Stevens, S-U-F-J-A-N, Sufjan. Scott, this is John. You're on WGN. What can we do for you? Hi.
How you doing, John? I just wanted to express, I share your sadness with the news about Mayor Pete, and I am disappointed. I'm undecided, except for the fact that I'm not voting for the current president. I thought Pete was the most elegant, graceful, and respectful candidate in terms of his speaking abilities, and I just think the whole campaign's going to miss him.
Yeah, I agree, and I, you know, could he beat Donald Trump if that's what you want? I don't know the answer to that. Maybe you've got to get one of those big moneyed names like Bernie or Biden or Warren or something like that. But my point is the current president and all the other candidates, he was the alternative to me. He was the one that sounded different.
I agree. And I hope he and I noticed on social media last night, a lot of people share this thought. I hope he has a future in a position, maybe not the presidential position, but in some high position, because I think he's an excellent, excellent candidate.
I wonder if he'd be a vice presidential candidate for one of these guys.
Boy, that's a very good question.
Scott, I appreciate your phone call, and I'm glad you joined us. I'm going to go from you to Patrick. Hey, Patrick, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hello, John. I'd like first to say I join with what Scott had to say about Mayor Pete. I think he was the most polished and erudite of all the Democratic candidates. But I also wanted to point out to you that even though they're on the ballot on the Democratic primary, that particular race is just a popularity contest. The real race is for the delegates. And I looked at the Democratic ballot last week, and I believe there are only three candidates that have delegates running on the primary ballot. Joe Biden, Ms. Warren, and Bernie Sanders. I don't believe Mr. Bloomberg has anyone running. I know Mayor Pete didn't have anyone running, but that's the most important race. The presidential race at this point in the primary is merely a popularity contest.
Interesting point. Yeah, you're talking about the Illinois ballot, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Patrick, thanks for listening. Thank you for the call. John, there's a whole Reddit page dedicated to the videos you talked about earlier on the show. It's called Don't Help, Just Film. You know how sometimes you see things and you go, oh my God, that's amazing. But why is the person taking the video? Why aren't they helping? Why aren't they doing something? Instead, they video it and then they post it. And there must be something really intoxicating about that when it happens. The video we were talking about was, in fact, the next texter asked about that. Hey, John, I just turned on your show. What is the soup sipping video you're talking about? I guess if you just Googled that, you'd find it. John Cass posted it on his Twitter page. I follow Cass. It shows a guy, what looks like a Whole Food in the hot bar area where you make your own sandwiches or where you get your own hot food. You put it in one of those styrofoam containers and take it home. And there's a guy sitting there drinking the soup out of the soup kettle with the ladle. He takes a couple of sips. It's something to see. Three words from 815 this morning, wash your hands. Mary Schmeek did a whole column about that in Sunday's paper, I believe it was. She just talked about how human beings touch their hands a lot. We are not that far removed, she said, from our inner chimp. And we do it all the time. In fact, even reading these words, she said, you're now probably starting to touch your face. You have to fight that urge. You've got to resist. Don't touch and wash your hands. Wash your hands. And when you do, sing happy birthday twice and try not to touch your face. That's good advice, not if you're fighting coronavirus. It's just for all of us. Every day we should try and resist that. It's impossible. John, they should charge that man for the whole pot of soup. John, the manager should be notified, police should have been called, and the person should have been taken to the hospital to be tested for communicable diseases on his dime and then be publicly flogged. John, did you see David Byrne performing on Saturday Night Live? Yeah, Byrne was really good.
I heard that was fantastic.
It really was. And again, I didn't see much of the show, but I saw the Mulaney opening monologue. I saw Byrne do a song. And
Life During Wartime, was it?
I guess so. To be honest with you, I don't even know his repertoire that well. But everybody was wearing the same gray suit. And they were dancing around the way he would have them. It was really good. And then this production number they did, where they did song and dance, and it was just bizarre and funny. So props to them. They had a good show last night. John, we are going to have a bad mosquito season. I'll bet we are. I'll bet we are. John, I really wanted to vote for Pete, and I am an African-American, says the next texter. Do you think that cost him?
Absolutely.
And what cost him was just the way they handled that one incident in South Bend. I guess that got him off to a bad start.
I don't know if it was that particular issue, but he just never resonated, or he didn't seem to resonate with African-American voters. What, did he get 2 or 3% in South Carolina?
I guess.
I mean, I don't know that they had a reason to dislike him other than that they, or that they just didn't have a reason to like him that much. But he never picked up any support there, and that was, you've got to have that to win the nomination.
847 said, John, they paid him off to get out of the way.
Most of them should be gone by now. You know, I mean, Amy Klobuchar is not going to win the Democratic Party nomination. Elizabeth Warren is almost certainly not going to win the nomination.
Amy Klobuchar gets all of the major newspaper endorsements. I wonder if that at some point will start to be noticed by people, right? Because what do you or I know really about these people? We don't know that much. We're too busy doing our thing. But the people at editorial boards for major newspapers like the Houston Chronicle or the San Francisco Chronicle or the Minneapolis Star Tribune or the Chicago Tribune, all those papers that are endorsing Amy Klobuchar, the New York Times, they do pay attention to this stuff. You know, pick a conservative paper. I don't know what a conservative paper is anymore, to be honest with you. The biggest newspaper in Texas has endorsed Amy Klobuchar. But those people at least pay attention to politics and policies in these people. And they all like Amy. She gets a lot of those. John, he was the best candidate, period. Our electorate needs to get out of its own way, both sides of the aisle.
I love that you pointed out that he could run 40 years from now and be at the same age as the front runners.
Let me see. I was writing stuff down I was seeing on Twitter. Trump is now the youngest man running for president. Mayor Pete. So, you know, what's the bane of America's existence? It's old white men running things. You're going to have an old white man running things again, just like the Senate, just like the Supreme Court, et cetera, et cetera. John, Mayor Pete could run in the 2060 presidential campaign and still be younger than Biden or Bernie or Bloomberg are now. Wow. Hadn't thought about it that way. And Trump is currently the youngest man because obviously Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar are younger. The other fun stats I had to write down: starting this Sunday, the sun will set after 6 p.m. for the next 8 months. How can you not love that? And Thomas Jefferson's next show with us will be September 26th at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove. I had one review for you, and that is the Netflix docuseries about the Formula One race circuit called Drive to Survive. Season 2 dropped, and that show is amazing. You know, one of the things that's really smart about it, each episode is about 35 minutes long. So you get through a 10-episode season in pretty short order. You can watch it in an evening. We watched it over the weekend. You don't know much about Formula One racing. I don't know much about Formula One racing, but you do after 30 minutes. And you find yourself rooting for these drivers and these teams. Number one in the world's Mercedes. You may recognize the picture of Hamilton. What's the guy's name? It's not Alexander. Although that'd be funny if it was. What is the first name of the number one driver for Mercedes? But he's an international star. He's this good-looking, not real large guy who drives these cars 200 miles an hour. Say that again, Elif? Lewis Hamilton, yeah. And then it's Ferrari, Red Bull, and then a bunch of other teams. Haas, McLaren, Rocket, Williams, Motorsports, and I don't know, you haven't watched this yet, have you guys? But it's a Netflix series, and it's worth your time. Say it again? Yeah. After the 10:30 WGN Radio News, I was kind of intrigued by something that we've talked about here in the past, and that is, how does Cameo videos work? The people that run it, it's a Chicago-based company, do really well. I don't know what Rod Blagojevich's price is now, but you know, the guy's got to make a living, and there's this service called Cameo. You can order videos for a friend. So if Elif had a birthday coming up, we wanted to do something for Elif, who's somebody that Elif really likes. Who's that singer that you like so much, Elif? Who would you like us to get a Cameo video for you?
You're thinking of Kimbra.
Is she on Cameo?
I don't know.
So if she was your favorite singer, we could go online and then pay our money, say $100, and then she would do a shout out video to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be personalized. It would say, "Hey, Elif, this is Kimbra.
It was nice meeting you last year.
I know. I saw you in the crowd, and I'll see you when I come back to Chicago again. Happy birthday." You know, something like that. So Blagojevich is doing that now. And his price was originally $40, then it went to $100, then it went to $110. I don't know what's driving that or how many people are actually trying to get his video, but somebody suggested, and I might spend money for the first time on Cameo for this reason. John, spend the money on a Blagojevich Cameo, but have him say that he was wrong. Hey, so I can do a shout out to Steve Bertrand. "Hey, Steve, this is Rob Blagojevich. You know what? I was wrong. I did need to go to jail. And in fact, I should still be in jail because I won't admit my wrongdoing."
That'd be interesting to see what price that would...
Right, because now he's got to say that or he doesn't get the money.
Keep upping it. I'll give you a grand.
We'll do a GoFundMe page just to see how high we can get it before he cuts the video. They're in our studio after the 10:30 news. Our Mega Monday Morning Quiz at 11:30 this morning asks you about Chicago comics. How well are you going to do on that? I'll bet you're going to do pretty well. The CEO of that company called Cameo is Steve Galanis. He's been in the studio before. This is the first time he and I have had a chance to sit down and talk. Steve, thanks for coming back. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
So for those who hadn't heard your previous conversations here, tell us what Cameo is.
Cameo is a platform where you can book personalized video messages from over 25,000 different athletes, actors, celebrities, and now politicians.
Based in Chicago, your company is?
Based in Chicago.
How long has it been in operation?
We're coming up on our fourth year, so we just finished year three last year.
How many subscribers or how many users have you had?
We've sold over 575,000 of these Cameo videos so far.
What's the average price that people pay?
$60.
Do you get a percentage of each one then?
We take 25%.
Nice. Was this your idea?
Me and my co-founders.
Wow. Did you know it was going to be a hit like it has been when you first came up with the idea?
I certainly knew that people would want these. The question was, could we get the talent to do them at scale?
Who was the first person you got to do a Cameo video?
His name was Cassius Marsh. He's a current player on the Arizona Cardinals in the National Football League.
What was your connection to him?
My one co-founder was his NFL agent.
So they said, he'll do one.
So he, my co-founder came in and showed me a video that we now call the first Cameo, where Cassius was congratulating this guy on becoming a father for the first time, and it was a 10-second video. And I saw that, and I'm like, I think other people would want that if they could possibly get it, but not everybody else knows the agent.
But if a guy makes a video, a celebrity does that for an average citizen, that's sweet and sincere. It's so mercenary what you're doing. It's different. I mean, did you wonder if it would work that way?
I don't think it's mercenary at all. I think it's really the new autograph. I mean, people go to the Cubs convention and they pay big dollars to go and meet their favorite person. The price in this point is literally just a necessary friction for fulfillment. If they were all doing it for free, like if they were answering every Instagram DM, you know, they would never have time to do anything else.
How often do they donate the money to charity? How often do the celebrities keep the money?
It's totally up to the celebrities. Some will donate at certain periods of time. For example, in December and November, we were doing something with Red Bono's Foundation, and we had over 800 of our talent opting in to donate all their proceeds to AIDS research.
When did you get a celebrity that's a household name and you went, holy cow, I can't believe this?
I think some of the first big ones were Dennis Rodman, Brett Favre, you know, in year one. Those were some really big ones. But one thing most people don't know about Cameo is we didn't really found the business to make Drake or Kanye West more money. Our idea was that in the long tail of talent, there are people that are more famous than they are rich. And what we were really trying to do was help people like Cassius Marsh, who were the 15th best player on the team that can't get any endorsement deals off the field, help them find another way to make money.
And there are people who are that. I don't mean this so pejoratively, but B-list celebrities who really do have an adoring fan base. My son has a couple of them from people I don't know, but it was a great thrill/joke between him and his pals for him to get them from them. Everybody wins in that scenario.
Yeah, we never talk about B-listers because one person's B-lister is somebody else's favorite person on earth. Another good example, my co-founder Devin was one of the original Vine stars. So he is somebody that was worldwide famous, had over 1 billion loops on the social network Vine. You wouldn't know him, but there are, you know, millions of people around the world that he might be their favorite person that's ever existed.
Is there somebody else like that who surprised you, who you thought, okay, fine, but that's not going to go, and boom, it popped?
I mean, it literally happens every day. There's a guy named Jerry Harris right now on a show called Cheer on Netflix that's made more money than anybody else on the platform so far in 2020. He's out earning Snoop Dogg and Charlie Sheen.
He's a Naperville kid.
From the show Cheer.
Yeah, yeah. We were trying to get him on our show. They said, talk to his agent. I should
try booking him on Cameo.
I was just going to say, I'll at least get him to do a video for us. What is his video cost?
I think he started at 40 and then he's risen his price as demand has increased.
So $40, is that the starting point?
They can start anywhere.
Really?
We let the talent set their own price.
So are you recruiting people or is it a platform that anybody can just opt into and start using it?
We recruit people and there's a minimum threshold for follower count on Instagram that we need. It's very rare that we'll see somebody with under 20,000 followers on Instagram be successful unless there's someone like Bobby Hall, for example, that, you know, might be extremely famous but just not have Instagram. So in that case, you know, they'll reach out to us or we'll reach out to their representatives, and then there's a back doorway in the system that we can get those people on. But 20,000 followers on Instagram tends to be the minimum.
Bobby Hull would be a nice one to have.
I mean, he's been on for 2 years.
And does okay.
And does great. And, good example. When we show this to Bobby, it seems like such a crazy, innovative thing. But Bobby's like, look, I've been doing this for 60 years. He goes, first I used to sign a jersey or a puck. You know, then it was me recording people's voicemails was a thing. People would come up to me. And then it was people taking pictures with me. He's like, this is just a continuation of things I've been doing my whole career.
You said it's the new autograph. And I think your point's well taken. Athletes are used to not only signing autographs, but going to shows where they're signing baseballs and there's a charge for it. They're very comfortable with that whole machine.
And the fans are comfortable too. And I think especially in the digital creator space, you're seeing more and more creators turning to things like meet and greets and Comic Cons, and merch sales is a huge percentage of their revenue. For example, on YouTube, the top 3% of creators make 97% of all the money on the platform. So there are millions of people on YouTube that are more famous than they are rich. For musicians, the top 1% of musicians make 66% of all the concert revenue, merch sales, and streaming platforms. So at the end of the day, there are huge stars out there that are not making as much money as you think. So they're more famous than they're rich. And that's where Cameo really can solve a market need for them.
Steve Galanos is the CEO of Cameo based in Chicago. Been around for 4 years on the West Loop area. Is that where you guys are located?
Yeah, we're in Fold Market today. We came out of 1871. I got over to 1871 February 1st of 2017.
So the idea is, if I go online, I can click on the person who I want to make a video. Do I type in what I want them to say?
You go to cameo.com or you can download our app on either Android or iOS. You can browse through all these different categories. So, athletes, football, Chicago Bears, the list of all those that we have. Every talent has their own price. You can watch some of their videos so you have an idea of what their content looks like. And then you get 250 characters to put into the message. They will then get up to 7 days to turn that around, and you'll have a completely unique, authentic, personalized piece of content.
How verbatim does the celebrity have to do it for it to be a good deal?
I think most people prefer it not to be very verbatim. They prefer you to, you know, give them the, you know, the script of the idea. But the most interesting thing is kind of the authenticity, where they're doing it, what are they wearing, who are they with, what else are they, you know, freestyling in there. I'll give you a good example. In year one, one of the most magical moments that we saw on the platform, this girl wrote in to a singer from a band called Asking Alexandria, and she told Ben Bruce, the lead singer, or this guy told the lead singer, my girlfriend is obsessed with your music. Her brother had a heroin overdose earlier this year, and your music is what keeps her going. So, yeah, that was the request, right? And then imagine, as the artist, you getting to respond to something like that. You know, that's absolutely magic.
They go as long as they want in their response in that case?
We've had a 59-minute cameo, and we've had a 2-second cameo. So it kind of depends on what you ask for.
Okay, so let's hear a little of that Jerry Harris, and I also will play a little of Rob Blagojevich's pitch, just to give you an idea of what these things sound like. In just a minute, maybe you've got a question or comment too. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can call or text. Steve Galanis is here. He's the CEO of Cameo. This is WGN. In our studio, Steve Galanis, we invited back the CEO of Cameo, based in Chicago. 4 years this app, this website has been up and running, where they essentially sell personalized videos of celebrities to you or your friends. And it's a going concern. So how many people do you have on the system right now?
Over 25,000.
Those are the celebrities. And then how many users have used it?
We've sold over 575,000.
At an average price of about $60.
Correct.
What's the most expensive one you've had?
We've sold a $10,000 cameo.
From
a variety of people. So we have a new SKU that we've launched in beta right now, where small businesses often will try to request a business shout out. So imagine, you know, your favorite Italian beef stand saying, like, this is the best beef in Chicago, and getting Brian Urlacher to say that. They're not going to do that for the price that they would send to a Bears fan. They would want more money. So we've sold a variety of $10,000 cameos for businesses.
So in a way, that's your commercial advertising agency in that case, kind of serving that purpose, but on the app.
Well, again, you know, I think the big brands, you know, like Pepsi or Budweiser, they know how to get in touch with, you know, Beyonce and Cardi B. But for Main Street, they have no idea how to get in touch with the top, you know, a top star. So this, you know, we're the intermediary to Main Street, both for consumer concerns and for business-to-business concerns.
Barack Obama, Donald Trump, I'm thinking of some marquee politicians. Are they on the app?
Not yet, but I think they'd both do fantastically well.
You think Trump could write his own ticket and Obama could too? Oh my gosh. I guess maybe that's a little beneath their office, right? Maybe the president or former president shouldn't do that.
I mean, look, I think not that long ago people thought tweeting was going to be beneath the office or being on Instagram. But the reality is, even as we're seeing a platform like TikTok really like take off over the last year, you know, people forget that Justin Bieber and Barack Obama and these guys are on these other platforms for free, right? So why would they not do something to raise money for their foundation or for re-election or anything else?
Rod Blagojevich's voice appears on Cameo. This is part of what he's up to.
If you want a birthday greeting, an anniversary greeting, motivation, or any other kind of shout-out, I can't wait to hear from you.
He goes on. He started at 40. What's Rod Blagojevich cameo up to now?
I think he's over 100 now, but he got booked hundreds of times over the weekend. So
this weekend?
Absolutely killed it. And his videos are really good. The Tribune had called me on Friday when he first came on and asked for a comment, like, why did we think he would be good? Blagojevich looks like a lot of other top talent on Cameo. He's great in front of the camera, and he's got just a massive personality. You know, he can improvise. He's funny. And I think a lot of people that hadn't seen him in the last 8 years really get a kick out of the fact that he's got snow white hair. Your listeners can hear that from the voice, but, you know, it doesn't look like the guy that went into prison.
So if I got him to, if I typed out my 250 characters, hi, I'm Rob, hi, John, hey, listen, you're right, I was guilty as hell, I should be in prison, I was, you know, just do all the things that he's not willing to say right now.
Well, they can say no to anything.
So I guess, so then what if I up the ante and I said, okay, it's 110, I'll give you 500. Is there a sort of bidding that could take place?
We don't have that today. I think, like, you know, when you go to Nordstrom's, you don't bid more for like one pair of shoes. We're a marketplace business. So everything we do, like, we only make money when the talent get booked. So we've gotten really good at right pricing people. I think just like if you are going on Zillow and you're looking at houses in your neighborhood, you know, if you think you can charge, you know, $10,000 more a month in rent than, you know, your neighbor who's got a much nicer place than you, that's probably not going to happen. Right. So we've really gotten good at having this large subset and explaining to talent where they should be priced.
Do you know, has Rod Blagojevich turned down any of the requests?
I don't know off the top of my head. You know, we do about 2,000 of these a day, so I don't watch every request that comes in anymore.
Because I would pay $110 for him to say that.
Well, look, you can, you know, you can book and see. You could ask. You can only, if he says no, you don't get charged.
No. Jerry Harris, that young man from the family that raised him, is from Naperville. My understanding is he's still going to Navarro Junior College in Texas. He's on that docuseries called Cheer, and we reached out to his agent because the family said, we want Jerry to speak for Jerry. We don't speak for him, and that's fine. They seem like nice people, and maybe they're overwhelmed. But when we reach out to Jerry, they said, you got to go through his agent, and the agent said he's busy getting ready at Daytona Beach for the next National Cheer Championship, so we can't get him on. But on Cameo, he sounds a little like this.
Keep working hard. Keep putting in the extra work. Keep showing your coach that you want to be here. You want to be in that spot, and you're going to do anything to be there. I believe in you, Kaylee, and I know you can do it. Keep pushing. Keep being a fighter. Keep being a survivor. And just keep fighting for what you want, okay? Good luck, Kaylee. I wish nothing but the best for you.
Okay, so that's one he did for somebody named Kaylee. Elif, that's his Matt talk, right? Is that what you call that?
Well, he's just encouraging this young girl who is joining a cheerleading team, it sounds like, and she might be on the mat.
I see. Yeah.
And he says in the beginning that he wasn't on mat right away either.
On mat means that if you're on a cheer team, that's one thing, but to actually be able to perform with the team in the competitions, then you're on mat. What does a Jerry one cost? Do you know off the top of your head?
I'm not sure off the top.
Do you see that, Elif?
He's probably over 100 at this point, but he came on at 40.
Yeah. Nice for him, right? Because you said he is the number one Cameo video of all time?
This in 2020 so far. Not of all time,
so far,
but
yeah.
He's outperforming Snoop Dogg and Gilbert Gottfried, guys that make, you know, mid six figures.
Gottfried would be good.
Gottfried was the number one last year. He made mid six figures on the platform.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? But he is hilarious. He's loud. He's obnoxious. He's funny.
Again, it's these really unique personalities. So I think, again, many times people are like, where is Billie Eilish or, you know, Justin Bieber? We built this for the big personalities, for people that I believe the people that will be the most famous on Cameo are not going to be the same people that were the best or most famous on Instagram or Twitter. It's a totally different medium.
Meaning that the more outlandish you are, maybe, or just the bigger your personality is?
I think a combination, right? So comedians tend to outperform everybody. Reality TV stars, for example, do way better than athletes. So, you know, we have so many Hall of Famers, and as a sports fan, I'm very biased to thinking that.
But Dennis Rodman would do better than Scottie Pippen.
100%.
Who are the athletes in Chicago right now? As good as the Cubs are, they have a lot of milquetoast personalities there, I think. Right? Chris Bryant, he doesn't pop. Even Rizzo doesn't pop.
The Bears have some good personalities. So, you know, Prince Amukamara has done very well. Roquan Smith's done really well. And then Urlacher, Briggs. Like, we've done really well, especially in the NFL, where a lot of the top people. But someone like Ray Lewis, for example, unbelievable personality, always motivational, even in his playing days. We've seen current NFL players booking Ray Lewis to pump up their own locker rooms.
Really? No kidding. I'm still thinking of Chicago athletes. I can't think of any on the Bulls right now, even though they got some decent players.
The Bulls actually have a couple. Like Ryan Arcidiacono is actually one that's done really well because he's got a huge fan base from Villanova.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing too, right? I'm a Duke alum, and you know Wendell Carter is on the platform, and you know Duke fans will book him even though he's been hurt for most of his Bulls career.
Steve Bertrand's in our newsroom.
Do you talked about 2,000 a day or something like that? Do you screen each of them before they go out, or does the host send them out, or what's the, because I know you had some issues early on with all of that. Tell me how that works.
So the talent can say yes or no to every request, so they're basically self-screening. I think the other thing that really helps, you know, bad requests from not coming in is the fact that you have to put your name in and pay for it.
But once the talent makes the video, do you guys look at it and then send it out, or does the talent send it out directly?
The talent sends it out directly.
So you don't really know what they're saying.
So the second that they want to, the second they feel good saying what they want to say, they send it out. We have three rules on the platform: no nudity, no inciting violence, and no hate speech. If we get a report that any of the videos violate that, you know, we kick the people off the platform.
But I could use coarse language if I could ask you to use coarse language, and if you and I are comfortable with that,
for sure,
the transaction takes place.
Yeah, I mean, we have certain people that, like, C.T. Fletcher is one of our best talent, and people literally pay him to cuss you out, you know, for motivation. He's like a power lifter. So authenticity is important. We want people. Some people are Disney and some people aren't Disney.
Yeah, sure.
We want people to be themselves.
Patrick Kane would be a good one in Chicago.
I think Shaw would be a really good one. You know, there are some personalities on the team for sure. But, you know, again, sometimes, as you know, being around athletes, sometimes the best player on the team isn't the biggest personality.
Yeah, although he's just, yeah, and there's not a hockey player I've met who really, pow, pops, has this outrageous personality.
Well, Jeremy Roenick, you know, he's done really well on the platform.
And maybe this isn't enough then, because he's a Hall of Famer, and fans know him, recognize him, love him. I'm thinking about, say, Taves or Kane. But yeah, they're not real outspoken. So maybe that's going to diminish their value on the platform of Cameo.
I think Blackhawks fans would still be excited to hear from him. I'm a hockey player, played through college. I think the culture of hockey is also very different. Unlike basketball, for example, where someone like Zion Williamson would have 2.1 million followers before they even get to Duke, and then they're playing on a national stage, they become household names. Hockey players are mostly playing juniors in Canada. You don't. Yeah. They're not as famous when they get to the team.
Is Zion on the platform?
Not yet, but we're working on him closely. We've gotten most of the Dukies on, so Zion's like the next one we need.
NBA superstars. Is LeBron on there? Is Harden on there? Any of those guys?
We don't have LeBron. We don't have Harden. Kyrie Irving's probably the most high-profile NBA player we have.
Not bad. John, does Blago's recording count towards his requirement to be gainfully employed? Just wondering. I was not facetiously wondering that out loud myself. You may be his meal ticket.
I have no idea what his requirements are to be gainfully employed. Just so you guys understand how it works, the talent on our platform, if they make over $600, will get 1099'd. So, yeah, I assume that there's probably some other things he's doing as well, but, you know, this probably is going to be one of them for him.
John, my wife bought me a Cameo to tell me we were expecting twins. Rick from Pawn Stars did it. Very cool, and it seemed very genuine and personal. So the guy from Pawn Stars goes, "Hey, dude, I got really exciting news for you. You're having twins." His wife bought him the Cameo video.
I think that's what's fun about Cameo, right? Like, I really dare your listeners to find an occasion they couldn't use this thing for. People have been so creative. We've seen gender reveals of babies. We've seen proposals. We've seen kids using this to come out to their parents. Any type of message you want to deliver to anybody, this has been a good medium to do.
John,
that.
Most people are using Blago as a gag gift and sending it to friends who were really ticked that his sentence was commuted. I'm not surprised, and you don't care, right? That's not the point. Linda, I got 30 seconds. What did you want to say? You're on WGN.
John, the perfect athlete right now that I can think of for this, Eloy Jimenez on the White Sox. The hi, Mom. You know, hi, Mom.
Yeah.
I could just imagine how excited I'd be to pick up the phone and hear him saying, "Hi, Linda."
And in this case, it would be a video to boot, right?
Yeah. And so then you can share it to Instagram and Facebook, and that's, you know, what makes it really exciting.
Eloy on there?
I don't know if we have him yet, but we should get him if we don't.
Yeah, no kidding. Continued success, Steve. It's nice to meet you. It's called Cameo. Steve Galanis, the CEO of Cameo, joining us in studio to talk a little bit about Blago. I'm fascinated with the rest of them. Thanks for coming in.
Cameo.com. Check it out.
1108, this is WGN. Good Monday to you. Happy Casimir Pulaski Day. Celebrated mainly in areas that have large Polish populations like Chicago and now then they list some other cities here. I'm looking on Wikipedia, Bloomington and Dubois, B-O-I-S, or Boyce. I'm not sure where those towns are. Which Bloomington are they speaking about? Illinois? Minnesota? The focus of official commemorations of Casimir Pulaski Day in Chicago is at the Polish Museum of America, where various city and state officials congregate to pay tribute to the Chicago Polish community. Casimir Pulaski, the Revolutionary War cavalry officer, born in Poland. He is praised for his contributions to the United States military in the American Revolution and known as the father of the American cavalry. So we got that going for us. The news click over the weekend.
They're soon going to call it Indigenous Peoples Day.
Well, now, no, they're not going to call Casimir Pulaski Day that.
Well, why not? We'll take another ethnic holiday.
Isn't the problem with this whole conversation? Our news click was about Columbus Day versus Indigenous Peoples Day on the same day. Who wins? And that's the problem. You're pitting one ethnicity, one culture, one slice of history against another and trying to decide who's most meritorious. That's an impossible equation.
Well, but part of the equation in this is that Columbus's arrival, while it was good for a lot of us, was really, really, really bad for many more of us. So I think that's why they're on the same. That's why they're competing for the same day. You know, why celebrate Columbus if it resulted in hundreds of thousands of deaths?
No. I don't know. Did you hear that lady that called in earlier? She thought that what those people did, getting on those ships and sailing across the sea, was courageous and adventurous.
Right,
and
no, it's true.
She thought it was pretty terrific.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying that's why they're competing
for the
same day.
We pit that one against the other.
Yeah.
By the way, have you ever seen a life-size Nina Pinto or Santa Maria?
They're not that big.
They are not that big. I travel on small ships of 450 people with a wait staff of 350 people. And if when I got on the Nina the Pinta or the Santa Maria, and they didn't have, well, a couple of nice lounges, I just don't think I'm getting on board.
Thinking they didn't have very many nice lounges.
Do they have a weight room, an exercise room? Do they have a show stage out front where they're dancing and singing?
They did have a slide pool on top.
Yeah, for the people that were misbehaving into the sharks down below. Mayor Pete has left the Democratic field. Our news click may be about that somehow. I'm not sure what the question will be. Do you miss him? A lot of you are texting about Mayor Pete today. John, I believe Pete Buttigieg would have been an excellent secretary, or will be, could be an excellent Secretary of State. John, I'm a Republican, but not a hard Republican. I'm disappointed Mayor Pete's dropped out. I feel with the exception of Amy Kay, all of the candidates are too old. Mayor Pete couldn't run his own town, John. He's got a bad record, but he speaks well. What? John, I agree with you about Buttigieg. I really did like him, but I will be voting Republican only because I don't believe how the Democratic candidates are going to get done all these things they say they're going to get done. John, I would have voted for Pete. The country's not ready to elect a homosexual president, however. A couple of you have said that in various forms. John, I texted my daughter this morning and said, well, Mayor Pete is out, but he will be back in 4 years. And my daughter said, or 40. So we agreed it would be sometime between 4 and 40 years, which is crazy to think about. But remember, if Mayor Pete runs in 40 years, he'll still be younger than Bloomberg or Biden or Bernie. John, Mayor Pete is ahead of his time. He needs to run again in the next cycle. Hopeful one of these senior male Democrats will pick a younger running mate, John. Maybe Amy or maybe Pete. I think it would have been most fascinating. Amy would give you that too. A debate between Donald Trump and Mayor Pete, or a debate between Donald Trump and Amy Klobuchar, just because their temperaments are so different. If you get the other three up there, Joe Biden and Donald Trump debating on the stage, I don't think I would watch. I would feel bad for America if I had to sit there and watch that. It's 11:13. This is WGN. What else are we going to mention here? One quick thing before we go to our next guest. I guess we can just go ahead and start that. Somebody sent us this text this morning, and they said, John, check out Rob Citrenberg's post on Facebook. He's an infectious disease doctor and advocate and has great things to say or for all of us to hear about the coronavirus. And then I'm looking at what he posted on Facebook. Let me get you his introduction, by the way. He is an infectious disease doctor. He's the director of the Infectious Disease Department at Advocate Lutheran General Hospital in Park Ridge, Rob Citrenberg. And he said this on Facebook. Large letters. You are not going to die from coronavirus. This is a doctor. Fear of the unknown is very powerful, but trusting science is more powerful. Will Americans get coronavirus? Yes, some will. Will Americans die from coronavirus? Unfortunately, a few will. There have been many pandemics in history, several in the last century, and we have survived them all. Will Americans die from influenza? Yes, about 30,000 every single year, and that's despite a vaccine and antiviral medication. My advice as an expert, he says, in the field is 1, there is absolutely no reason to panic. Number 2, be smart. Avoid sick people. Avoid travel to places where the virus is prevalent. Number 3, he says, listen to this, masks won't help. They may actually increase your chance of getting a viral infection because you're much more likely to contaminate your face when you're wearing a mask. I wondered about that. If I got the mask on, isn't it kind of collecting stuff that might otherwise get away? He said something that was mentioned in our Mincing Rascals podcast, too. Look forward to summer. Coronaviruses don't survive well in hot and humid weather. When we heard that, Steve and I looked at each other and went, okay, are we sure about that? But here's a doctor saying that and more after this. Mondays, we do the Mega Pros Monday Morning Quiz. Always has something to do with Chicago. Watching John Mulaney on Saturday Night Live, the Chicago-based comic, I thought, well, let's do a quiz about Chicago-based or Chicago-born, Chicago-raised comedians. Lordy, there's a lot. I did make out a Monday mega quiz. It was all about pandemics. It didn't seem to be as much fun. But we are going to put Dr. Robert Citrenberg on now. He is that guy whose Facebook post a few of you told us about. Doctor, this is John. You're on WGN Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Appreciate your posting that on Facebook. I think that makes good sense. I think it's calming what you said. There is this thing called coronavirus, you said, but the survival rate is 98%. Factor in healthy young people, it's 99.5%. Wash your hands, etc., you say, but don't panic, right?
That's correct. This is most definitely not a time to panic. And really the reason I posted it was I was getting a lot of calls from friends and family members and concerned people in the community who were hysterical, and there's really no reason for that at all. This is there's most definitely a fear of the unknown, but this is probably not as unknown as many people think that it is.
Is it necessary to go to a doctor if I have it? That is, the doctor can't do anything about it. If I think I have it, that is, should I go to a doctor? Should I stay home and just ride it out?
Well, that's a good question. So if you're sick with a flu-like illness, remember there's still a lot of influenza circulating around the community right now, too, and statistically your odds of having influenza are much greater than having coronavirus. But if you're sick with a respiratory illness, we advise that you call your doctor as a first line, explain what your symptoms are, maybe where you've traveled, if you've traveled, who you've been in contact with, and then your doctor should be able to advise you what to do. And that advice may include staying home. It may include going to get tested at the hospital, really depending on what your symptoms are and what your perceived risk for this coronavirus infection is.
But really, the way it's traveling, it seems like somebody got it, then they gave it to somebody else, and then they got it, and it spread through a nursing home, or it spread through a small area, a business, a place. Do you think there are people walking around Illinois with coronavirus right now?
Probably there are. What we've learned from the experience in Washington State is that that virus was probably already circulating in the community for a few weeks before somebody got sick from it and was diagnosed. There probably are people walking around who have no symptoms or mild symptoms, and I would look at that as a positive. I would say there are many people walking around, probably about 80% of people either have no symptoms or very mild kind of flu-like symptoms, like a cold. Another smaller percentage do get real sick from it. But if we have a lot of people walking around who have no symptoms or very mild symptoms, in my view, that's reassuring to know that people aren't dropping dead left and right from it. I think that's really important that the public gets that perception. You know, you mentioned the mortality rate in the studies from China, where obviously it was first identified. The mortality rate was between 2 and 3%, but we really think it's a lot lower than that because we think the denominator, or the number of patients who really have the disease, is much, much higher than was previously thought, which, as you pointed out, would lower the mortality rate considerably, probably to the range of just a severe seasonal influenza. And I think that over time, my guess is that this disease will become like a severe seasonal influenza. Now, I don't want to underemphasize the importance of that. And I think a lot of people don't know the numbers. The numbers are that 32 million Americans have had influenza this season, and usually on average about 30,000 people die from influenza every single year in this country. So influenza is an important disease. But I think that from what we know about the new coronavirus now, we think it's going to be more like influenza and less like SARS or MERS, which were other coronavirus diseases that were identified earlier in this century.
I don't know why I get angry about the reporting, maybe because I do think it is a little clickbait worthy, but I'll see a scroll on CNN. This state now has two cases, you know, 17 people in this nursing home or something like that. And I understand that that's newsworthy, but I don't think it's a headline that I don't think they seem to care or appreciate how scary that is to people and how we're not ready to receive that information rationally. You know what I mean?
You're exactly right. In fact, I was just looking and scrolling over the weekend from a really reputable news source, and the headline of the article was "Killer Virus." Well, influenza is a killer virus, but we don't think about it that way. Maybe we should. And I think when you start your story with killer virus, it gets people's attention, but it may not really be telling the whole story.
On a phone line, Dr. Robert Sitrenberg is the Infectious Disease Advocate, Lutheran General Hospital Director. So you see stuff like this for a living, huh?
Yes, I do. And, you know, every few years there's another epidemic, and this is something we deal with. In the early 2000s, it was SARS, and then it was MERS, and then it was Ebola virus about 6 years ago. And so there's always going to be something, and really the key is to be prepared. And that's what we're working diligently on in our hospitals, or most hospitals, just to be prepared in the event that we have patients come in with this disease.
Well, Doctor, I'm really glad that you said that this mortality rate, which, you know, is like 10 times higher than it is for the flu, might actually go down once we realize how many people actually have it and aren't dying from it. I was following somebody on Twitter over the weekend, and they were screaming, people are dying from this at an alarming rate. What don't you people understand? And it's funny because I think the amount, there's another sort of epidemic out there right now, and it's a bad information, some of it purposely bad, and they're trying to scare people for all sorts of reasons, and I'm sorry to see that. A friend of mine mentioned something you did in your Facebook post, and that is that this virus does not do well in the summer months. Is it naturally going to go down when it gets warmer?
So that statement refers in general to coronavirus. Remember, there's lots of different coronaviruses. There's the one that caused SARS and one that caused MERS. And by the way, there's many circulating coronaviruses we see every single year that cause either common cold-type illnesses or very mild flu-like illnesses. There's lots of different coronaviruses. In general, coronaviruses are seasonal. In other words, they're in the northern hemisphere, they're wintertime viruses. They don't tend to do as well, survive as well in warmer or more humid weather. Now, we don't know yet about this particular virus. We're hopeful that it will follow the trend of other coronaviruses. It is important to note that the change in the weather, just simply the change in the weather, won't eradicate a viral epidemic, but it may make it easier to contain it. In other words, if the virus isn't able to replicate or reproduce as well, then with the change in the weather, it might be easier to contain it using other measures.
Stop touching your face. Use those antibiotic wipes or gels or ointments, right?
Absolutely. And I was actually pleased. I heard from about three different people yesterday. They went to Target to buy hand sanitizer, and they're all out of hand. There's a sign on the door that says we're out of hand sanitizer. And I guess that makes me happy. It means that people are paying attention, and they're going to wash their hands. Many viral infections, including coronavirus infections, are transmitted by contact. You know, you think about, well, I can only get it if somebody coughs in my face. Well, that isn't true. You can get it by contact. You can get it on your hands. You can rub your eyes. You can touch your mouth. You can touch your nose, and you can get it that way. So the most rational thing that people can do is to wash their hands, use alcohol, hand gel liberally.
And, Doctor, do I understand you correctly to say, you mentioned this a moment ago, but I just want to reiterate some of these points. It's possible that you get a case of coronavirus that's not only not fatal, but not all that bad. Different people react differently, or there's, I don't know, different strains? Can you just elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think what I was referring to, so there are many different strains of coronaviruses. Coronaviruses are a family of viruses, and in that family, there are some that cause very severe disease, like the ones that caused SARS in the early 2000s, and then the one that caused MERS in the Middle East a few years later. There are also coronaviruses in that family that cause very mild illness as well, too. So right now, the current circulating coronavirus, the COVID-19, you know, we don't know all the characteristics of it yet, but we're hopeful that it will be more like the milder illnesses than the more severe ones like SARS. So there's many different coronaviruses within that family, and it's probably too early to tell where we are with this one, except that we know, from what we know, the mortality rate is nowhere near what it was with SARS and MERS, which approached 9 or 10%. So it appears to be nowhere near the mortality rate of those coronaviruses.
Doc, I got just a couple of minutes left and still a bunch more questions to ask you. Should people be wearing masks? You posted that you don't love those.
Yeah, so the masks should be worn by healthcare providers who are taking care of people with respiratory infections. And actually, we also put a mask on a patient who's coughing because it'll help reduce the amount of virus that they're spreading into the air. But for the general public, masks are not likely to be effective. For one thing, if you just walk past someone on the street who has a coronavirus infection, the probability of you catching from them is extremely low. The surgical masks that you see around are not effective in preventing entry of virus because it's not a tight seal around the mouth and the nose. Furthermore, the masks tend to get dirty, and then if you have a contaminated mask and you take it off with your hands, you're much more likely to contaminate your hands and then touch your mouth or your nose. So at this time, we do not recommend use of masks to the general public. We don't think they're really of any value and may even provide a false sense of security. We're really preaching to people to wash their hands.
Would you go on a cruise?
Well, I don't really like cruises much myself anyway, but
That wasn't the question, Doctor.
Yeah. The question, well, you know, I think it probably depends where you're going. I certainly wouldn't recommend going on a cruise to areas of the world where there has been a large number of cases. But in terms of going somewhere perhaps to the Caribbean at this point, I think it's a personal decision. I don't think there's any travel restrictions or hard medical evidence to steer away from that. But there are people who are reluctant to go on cruises, and I think in the end it becomes an individual decision.
Well, that was our point. If you can't enjoy your vacation, don't go on vacation. So even though
I think that's the best point. I think a lot of people are canceling their trips, not just cruises, but travel everywhere because they're not comfortable, and that's okay. If you're you're going to be worried the whole time you're there, then you probably shouldn't go.
This meme of sorts is working its way across the internet. 2002, Nile virus is going to kill us all. 2004, SARS is going to kill us all. And each year there's another one. Bird flu, swine flu, Ebola, Zika, Corona. Wake up, everyone. They just want to keep us in fear, and I'm not buying it. I don't know who the they is, but I get the point. And, Doctor, you're very helpful today. Let's visit again maybe later this week or down the road. I appreciate your time. And that post is on Facebook. It was really helpful. We'll repost that on my Facebook page, too, if you don't mind.
Well, thank you. That's great. I really had no idea it would become that popular. I guess I'm happy it did because it tells me that people are interested and they're talking about it. I think it's more important now than ever to just make sure we're telling the facts and not inducing any sort of panic.
Robert Sitrenberg is the Director of Infectious Diseases at Advocate Lutheran General. Thanks, Doc.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
This is John Williams watching not Saturday Night Live, but after the fact. I was just so humored by John Mulaney's monologue, his opening monologue, that I thought, you know, we should do a Mega Monday morning quiz, and all of the answers will be comedians from Chicago. Mulaney on Saturday night, among other things, said this.
Clap if your father is between the ages of 60 and 75. Yeah. What's going on with them? What's wrong with them? They're so emotional. My dad hugs me so tightly sometimes, I'm like, is one of us about to die? And my dad has no friends. And your dad has no friends. If you think your dad has friends, you're wrong. Your mom has friends, and they have husbands. Those are not your dad's friends. Why do none of our baby boomer dads have friends? I have a few theories. One, they forgot. Two, they want to be alone. Dads want to be alone. I'm not a dad, but I observed one. And he would go into a room and he'd read about World War II. All of our dads are cramming for some World War II quiz show. And I can't wait to watch it. We're just going to change channels and see our dads win a $900,000 on Normandy trivia. It's hard to make friends when you're an adult male. I think that's the greatest miracle of Jesus, truly, is that he was a 33-year-old man, and he had 12 best friends. And they were not his wife's friends' husbands. And he didn't meet them a long time ago in school. He met him in his 30s. 12 best friends. Remember when your dad went fishing once? These guys went fishing every day. And they were all best friends. And he'd do magic tricks for them, and they loved it. He did magic tricks till the one time that he should have done magic, and then he forgot to. And they were taking, that must have been disappointing for his 12 best friends. They're taking him away in chains, and they're like, do the chain trick. He's like, I don't know how to break chains.
John Mulaney on Saturday Night Live. And so he went on and on and on. But that is so true. I think men don't form friendships the way women do. And if I think about the history or hierarchy of my friendships, you know, it was when you were young, you formed friends growing up and in school. Then you got married and had kids, and your friends became the parents of your children. But then your kids get older, and you sort of lose that network. You're not hanging out with their classmates' parents anymore because they're out of school now. So then for guys, it's pretty much somebody your wife met, and it's her husband.
They set the calendar.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it would help everybody if men were a little more, put it this way, a little less like Steve Bertrand, but we're not.
Why less like Steve Bertrand?
Because I don't see you forging, oh boy, I'm going to finish this sentence, Steve, many new friendships as an adult.
Okay, take all the time you need.
Is that true?
I have some very good friends.
You do.
But it's true.
But did you form those friendships 20 years ago or more recently? Who's the most recent good, if you're a guy over 40, when is the most recent good friendship that you formed?
Right.
With whom and how? Right?
Right.
And it can't be a friend of it can't be your wife's friend's husband, and it can't be the parent of one of your school kids' friends. It has to be somebody you met independently and on your own.
And it can't be one of my coworkers.
And I don't think it can be. Although, yeah, if somebody new came to the office and then you start taking him to games and palling around with him on weekends, I guess that would count. But
you did that with me for a while.
It did not. Well, you know, the other complication is this is life in America in the 21st century. You live in Deerfield. I live in Lakeview.
Right.
Lou Manfredini lives, you know, sort of in between us. I got friends that live out in LaGrange, for crying out loud. My parents are in Joliet. That's, you know, it'd be nice if you would all just move closer to me, and then it would be easier to make and forge friendships. And that was John Mulaney. So my number's 312-981-7200. And Chicago Comics is the theme of our Mega Monday Morning Quiz. Call me right now.
Come back to Chicago.
To Chicago.
Chicago.
Drove to Chicago.
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 Chicago City.
I'm coming home again.
So here's how it works. You call 312-981-7200. Steve can be a lifeline. James can be a lifeline, too. He's sitting over in traffic for Lauren Lapka today. And we'll ask you some questions about Chicago comedians. If you get them right, you win the Mega Pros hoodie. If you don't get them all right, you win a Mega Pros hoodie. So, for instance, if we did John Mulaney, it would go like this. Born in Chicago, he went to St. Ignatius. His parents are lawyers. His mom's been a law professor at Northwestern. He was an altar boy, studied religion. His wife is a makeup artist and designs lampshades. He was a drinker at age 13, did cocaine and prescription drugs, quit cold turkey one day at the age of 23. So if I said that, would you know that was John Mulaney? That would be how you play the game. Okay, Chris is in Batavia. He wants to play. Hey, Chris, you ready to roll?
I am.
Did you know the John Mulaney ones?
I did not.
Let's try this one. Here's another Evanston-born comic, grew up in Wilmette, attended St. Joseph's Grade School and then Loyola Academy. This comic has 8 siblings. One is a nun who travels the country in a one-woman show portraying St. Catherine of Siena. He's an SNL graduate, Saturday Night Live, whose hit films include Ghostbusters. He was a caddy as a teenager and turned those experiences into a movie. Who am I talking about?
Bill Murray.
What an incredible Cinderella story. This unknown comes out of nowhere to lead the pack. At Augusta, he's on his final hole. He's about 455 yards away. He's going to hit about a 2-iron, I think. Boy, you got all of that.
By the way, Bill Murray was arrested on his 20th birthday at O'Hare for trying to smuggle 10 pounds of marijuana through the airport. I didn't know that. All right, here's another one for you. Ready? You're 2 for 2, sir. Or 1 for 1. You ready, Chris?
Yes.
This good Catholic boy went to St. Siena in Oak Park, where he lived as a child. Then he went to St. Ignatius and Loyola University of Chicago. He had a button-down mind. And his was the first comedy album to make number one on the Billboard charts. His TV shows bear his name and were hits in the 70s and 80s. He, too, has a sister who is a nun. Who am I talking about?
Bob Newhart.
Hello?
I'm not playing one of Bob Newhart's bits, but that's such a fun... Isn't that a great... intro. Wasn't that a great series?
It was. It's hilarious.
It gets more difficult now. Raised in the Austin neighborhood on Chicago's west side, he went to SIU Carbondale. Hey, I went to SIU Carbondale. He went there more recently. He's done a lot. Talk show host, stand-up comic. He was a writer for Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock. He even is a regular voice on BoJack Horseman. But he really turned heads across the country when he started calling out Bill Cosby. He addressed Cosby's legacy of talking down to young black men about their style of dress and lifestyle. But he criticized Bill Cosby for moralizing by saying, quote, yeah, but you raped women, Bill Cosby, so that kind of brings you down a couple of notches. He told people during his shows to Google Bill Cosby, and that's how the whole Cosby thing broke. Who is this Chicago comic?
Tracy Morgan?
Good guess. Good guess. Bertrand, go.
Hannibal Buress?
Hannibal Buress is right.
Ooh. Yeah.
And I don't know Hannibal Buress' stuff that well. I've heard it a few times, but and I think he's very funny. I think he's terrific. I mean, he really is. But he's not the household name that some of those others are. You, by the way, when he was saying that stuff about Cosby, he did that for 6 months. Nobody paid any attention. He did it at a show in Philadelphia. Philadelphia Magazine wrote a story about it, and for some reason it finally tipped. And this is a little bit about what it would sound like.
Pull your pants up, black people. I was on TV in the 80s. I can talk down to you because I had a successful sitcom.
Yeah, it was great women, Bill Cosby, so kind of brings you down a couple notches.
I don't curse on stage.
Well, yeah, you're a rapist, so Google Bill Cosby rape.
Yeah, that was him on stage working the club saying that stuff, and that was the end of Bill Cosby. How about this one? She is the funniest thing to come from Plainfield, Illinois. In 2015, she launched her own clothing line for plus-size women. Her cousins include a player in the women's NBA and model actress Jenny McCarthy. These days, she is ranked as the highest-paid actress in the world. Who is this?
McCarthy.
Yeah, which one?
Oh, God, I can't think of her first name.
Hey, Bertrand, which one? Jenny McCarthy's cousin is
Joanne.
Melissa is right.
No carry on, huh?
No.
Yeah, I noticed. I know she didn't put anything in the overhead bin either. And I get it. I want you to know, protect and serve, Air Marshal style.
What?
I don't want to infringe on your privacy, man. I just, I really appreciate what you do for this country, and I respect the hell out of you.
That's great. Not an air marshal. I'm going to take a nap.
Awesome.
Cool.
I'll take the first watch.
Melissa McCarthy.
I'm not an air marshal.
Yeah, right. Melissa McCarthy in the heat. Very, very funny with Sandra Bullock. It's 11:44. Hey, stay right there, Chris. You're still going to get the hoodie. I got to take a break. We'll finish our quiz after this. Chris is in Batavia. How is it out there, by the way, Chris? Lovely in Batavia like it is downtown?
Yep, just like yesterday. Beautiful and sunny.
What are you doing driving around? What's your deal, man?
I'm a home inspector, so I'm going to look at somebody's new house they're getting ready to buy.
What are the chances you're going to find something that you're going to have to write up on them?
100%.
And that's a new home.
Well, no, it's new to them. It's not a new home. Although we do new homes. No, this is a house from the 90s. So the chances are 100% there will be a loose toilet or some problem in the electric panel. There's always something.
Oh, I see. So you're working for the guy buying the house or the people buying the house. You're not with the village and you're about to write him a citation.
Exactly.
He's correct. The guy who tells everyone what's wrong with the dream house that they finally found and about to buy.
Yeah, what's your attitude about that? Like, do you really want to give it to them hard because then they'll feel like it was money well spent? Or do you want to give it to them soft because nobody wants to hear that about the house they fell in love with?
Exactly. No, we're not here to talk. You know, they've climbed to the top of the mountain. We're not here to knock the flag out of their hands. We're just here to let them know. We're more educators. And I tell them in the driveway, we're going to find that loose toilet. We're going to find, you know, unless we find, you know, extravagant amount of mold or, you know, structural issues, there's very few things. In 5 years, I've never told anybody not to buy a house. I mean, there's just certain things that every house, my house, has the same problems that I write up in everybody else's house.
What's the number one thing that as a home inspector you find that the people buying the house miss?
Usually electric stuff. There's a lot of, you know, somebody's uncle's been over there on Saturday putting in a fan or a light or messing around in the electric panel. And those are the scary things. You know, usually it's the basement that somebody's finished themselves. Everybody has a brother or a buddy with extra parts that'll work for pizza in the basement.
Man, we had a house. If you lifted the ceiling tiles in the basement, you discovered the entire basement was wired with extension cords.
Exactly.
And, you know, and by the way, it worked fine. But
oh, of course.
Probably wasn't a good, it wasn't to code, for one thing, right?
Right. Exactly.
All right.
Well, that's a big part of it.
We're doing our Mega Monday quiz. I got two more for you. Are you ready?
I am.
This comic actress was born in Evergreen Park, raised in Dalton, went to Illinois State University. She's a lesbian, deaf in one ear, and an atheist, and 6 foot tall. She was really good in Glee, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. You've seen her in funny movies like Best in Show and A Mighty Wind.
Jane Lynch?
Jane Lynch is right!
All right.
Passionate yet gentle. Loved me for the first time. He serenaded me with a beautiful old Guatemalan love song.
Really? That's... That sounds nice.
Thank you, Jane Lynch. And she was really good in Glee. I think that's where a lot of us kind of discovered her. But A Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, she kills. What a great role for her. All right, one more. This comedy giant went to Wheaton Central North High School.
John Belushi.
Hey, not bad. Not bad. God, so I was looking at some old John Belushi videos. What a shame. He was so young. He was so fun, wasn't he?
Oh, he was awesome, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, well done. So we've got that Mega Pros hoodie for you. Producer Elif will get your shoe size and all that stuff, and we'll send one out to you, okay?
Excellent. Good deal. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for listening, Chris, and have a good spring, okay?
For sure. You too. Thanks. Oh,
home inspector. I always felt that the home inspectors were working for me, but I was also a little leery that they were really just trying to get the deal done for the realtor. I don't know how real estate agents feel about this or home inspectors, but I think you should hire a home inspector that doesn't work for either of the real estate agents, because...
Yeah, well, that's what you... I've done that.
If the home inspector is always saying, don't buy this house, look at all these problems, then the real estate agent is no longer going to want to use that home inspector. I think they have a sort of inherent conflict of interest. He sounds like a lovely guy, but I think you should find somebody who has no relationship to the transaction at all.
Right, but I think you just have to listen to him and say it's his job to tell you everything that is wrong with that house and hear it that way, not hear it, you know, like, oh, no, this and oh, no, that. That's his job, every big thing or little thing, and you just got to take it into, you know, consideration.
I've had,
and then get a credit from the seller.
I've had home inspectors that have missed stuff over the years. But then you say, okay, well then, all right, well then I'll use my brother-in-law. But I don't know if that's the best way to go either, you know. So I think you should find an independent person who doesn't come with the recommendation from anybody. But maybe that's just because I got burned once. I literally had a plumber after we bought one house, and, you know, we're living there, and the drain wasn't working well. He opened up the cupboard underneath the kitchen sink, and I knew that it looked complicated. I didn't know how wrong it was, but this guy just looks at it, and then he looks at us, and he goes, ah, a Picasso. If a plumber describes the pipes under your sink as a Picasso, then your home inspector should have told you that that stuff wasn't fixed right.
Yes, that seems to be amiss.
A Picasso! And he smiled like, wow, I can't wait to tell the boys at the shop about this one. I didn't think it was funny at all. Picasso. Lots of text messages today at 312-981-7200 about Mayor Pete and other topics. John, I'm incredibly disappointed about Pete's exit from the race. He was my choice for the Democrats. John, you mentioned Pulaski Day. It's also Dr. Seuss's birthday. And this, John, last week you had a discussion about car taxes. My yearly $18 license plate is now $118. Went up $50 for the trailer sticker. Went up to, the trailer sticker, it looks like, went from $50 up to $100. John, you should be on Cameo and at year's end, donate all of the money to your Red Kettle campaign. That's a good idea. Problem is, I don't think anybody would pay for a cameo video by me.
I'm sure someone would.
Right. I'd make $20. But, I don't know, a Ro Khan, a Bob Serrata, Steve Bertrand, a Lou Manfredini, some of our friends here up and down the halls. Maybe we should get a cameo account, designate a charity, and donate the money. This is the way Lou thinks, and I think our Mr. Fix-It's onto something there. John, make that doctor that you had on a little while ago, talking about coronavirus, your minister of health when you become king. That's the first common sense and rational explanation of this craziness I have heard. He was good, that's for sure. His name was Dr. You know, it wasn't on my rundown sheet because we discovered him during the show today. What was the doctor's name? Citrenberg, an advocate Lutheran generalist. Ji Suki's down the hall. What are you going to do today, Ji?
Hi, John Williams. We are going to be talking with Elise Glink about why so many Americans have so much credit card debt and no savings. And then we're also going to be talking to the Chicago Inno folks, you know, who actually talk a lot about Cameo, which is a fantastic app that you had on your show.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about the Chicago Bulls. They have a first ever startup competition, if you can believe it. They're not just all about basketball.